Hello, everybody. We are back. This is The Way We Nerd, and I promised this show I won't be as mumbling over my words as much as I did last week because I was so excited because we had just come from Star Wars. But we're not going to talk about Star Wars this time.
Aww.
Because we will dedicate...
I mean, we might actually talk about Star Wars.
Okay, spoiler alert. We might talk about it a little bit, but we're not going to get as in-depth as we want to because there'll be, trust me, there'll be a special series just on Star Wars once we know everybody has seen it and we can get deep, deep into every meaning of every little word and every nuance of that movie. But today we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about awards season. Yay!
Woohoo!
And we're going to talk about our top tens of 2015, which are going to be interesting because one of us has seen about 60 movies this year, and another has seen 9. And
ten. It's ten. Okay, I counted.
Oh, you found a tenth.
And the other two fall somewhere in between. So, before we get into...
There's a ghost
in the Ravenswood Writings Office. Imagine that.
Anyway,
so before we get started, we're gonna do a quick in memoriam to we lost three amazing British entertainers in the last couple of weeks. The first one is maybe not as well known to our audience, but maybe if you're a metal fan, you definitely know this man, Ian Lemmy Kilmister. Sorry. The lead singer and bassist for Motorhead, Hawkwind. The man, he's a metal god. I mean, he was one of the founding fathers of heavy metal, and unfortunately, he lost to cancer, as so many people do. And then the other two we lost, singer and actor David Bowie, introduced to me through the movie Labyrinth, which is a wonderful movie. I hope you guys have seen it. Jim Henson and George Lucas teaming up for a bunch of freaky Muppets and David Bowie as their leader, and a young Jennifer Connelly, who I had a major crush on and still to this day have a crush on because she is a beautiful, talented
and
woman.
Bowie had a crush on her in the movie.
He did, which was a little odd because he was a 40-year-old man, I think, at the time, and she was, at least late 30s, and she was 16?
Sure.
Age of consent in Goblin World is probably 16, so it's all good. It's all good. God, there's some great songs in that movie too, and one that I think I guarantee you we will dedicate an entire podcast to a man that's special to all four of us, as to many of you there in the genre world, or anybody who is a fan of movies, acting, and just good people. Alan Rickman. He is a loss I felt pretty profoundly. You know, the same thing like Robin Williams and Chris Farley. We've lost a lot of celebrities, obviously, in our lifetime already. But there's just some that just hits you like it's like a family member. Like I said, we'll get deep into his career in a special podcast because he definitely deserves an entire podcast dedicated to him. So what we're going to talk about next, we're going to get into award season. So if the DGA Awards and the SAG Awards and the Golden Globes are the playoffs, the Oscars are the Super Bowl, and the Golden Globes the Golden Globes, the DGA, and the SAG Awards, they give you, if you look at all them, and there's a couple other ones out there, I'm missing a few of them, like the Critics Awards and there's so many awards during January.
Yeah.
If you can't look at the Golden Globes as the blueprint of what's going to happen at the Oscars, because it's not. It's not at all.
It's gotten much less predictive.
Exactly. In the past, maybe, but people need to realize that there's how many movies are released a year now? 200 movies released, whereas in the past it was half that, maybe?
Sure.
You know?
I have no idea.
So
it's a lot.
There's a lot of movies that are out there, and a lot of performances, a lot of things to go through, screenplay. I mean, oh my God. And, this year, the Oscars are going to be very interesting. You're going to be hosted by Mr. Chris Rock, who I love. And if anybody thinks that Ricky Gervais was offensive, wait till you see Rock on the stage talking about these Oscars that are kind of bleached, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're very white.
The only one of note of any kind of color is in your
Martian because it's red.
There's some beige nominees, maybe.
There is.
At least one person here got a
shocker
one time.
For people out there, though. Mexicans are actually Caucasian. That's why when you see on those little things that say Caucasian, non-Hispanic.
Yeah.
So technically, there is no color in these major awards at all.
Right.
And I'm not saying that any of these. When people understand when we say this, or when I say this at least. I'm not saying that any of these people are any less deserving of a nomination, but you can't throw one in there. Okay,
I am. So that's good. Everything from Spotlight does not deserve a nomination.
Good call, brother. Good call. I also am a on Kyle's bandwagon there. I think Spotlight is a very overrated movie. It's a good movie, but I don't think anybody's. And I love Mark Ruffalo. I mean, everybody in this room loves Mark Ruffalo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think his performance stood out more than any of the cast of Straight Outta Compton. And you could have given any single one of those a leading actor nominee or a supporting actor. Especially Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and Ice Cube. O'Shea Jackson. What is Eric Wright's name? Oh, I know that kid's name. I'm blanking on their names, unfortunately. But all three of those kids deserved a nomination.
Michael B. Jordan had to give a more varied performance than Mumbly Keaton.
That's very true. Yeah. That's very true. That's very true.
Michael B. Jordan was really good.
Yeah. I don't know what.
Fruitvale Station, he was robbed again.
I don't understand. Like, I mean, obviously, you can't point it all at the Academy member board members because they're not the ones who are making the nominations. It's the people in Hollywood that are making the nominations. But something's wrong here. Something's wrong because there are performances out there worthy. I mean, Will Smith,
Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
There's a lot of time. Samuel Jackson, for sure.
God,
there's
a lot of so awesome.
There's a lot of times when the Oscars screws up, and a year or two later they try and course correct, or 30 years later, whether it's like expanding the amount of nominees for Best Picture, or giving Al Pacino an Oscar for Scent of a Woman, but not for Dog Day Afternoon or Godfather or whatever. So what I'm saying is that's a very long setup for saying next year. They're going to be like, and Best Picture, or Barbershop 3, and Best Supporting Actress, Nicki Minaj, just to try and make up
classic,
for it.
Classic and overcompensation.
It's gonna be, and it's going to be ugly, but it's thoroughly whitewashed this year.
It is, and it's,
I mean, when you have, like, Bridge of Spies, you know, the friggin' Spotlight, Mad Max. When you have those in there, like, there's not room for Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
Well, especially when you can. For Creed.
They. What people may or may not know is they're allowed to nominate. The new rules are. It used to be five. Now you can nominate between 5 and 10. And what did they do?
Eight.
They had room.
Yeah. They had two slots available. You can't throw Creed and Straight Outta Compton. They don't have to win. You put those nominations in there. None of us are having this conversation.
Right. Yeah.
This conversation doesn't happen.
Or if you managed to nominate anyone from Straight Outta Compton that wasn't the white writers.
I was just going to point that out. I was going to tee you up for that, Mr. Morehead. I was going to say, the only thing they get nominated for, and deservedly so, that was a great script, but the script isn't what brought that movie to life.
Exactly.
The actors, direction by F. Gary Gray, and the music, that's what brought that to life. None of that got nominated. I can understand maybe not the music because it's not original music.
That was one of my favorite moments from the Golden Globes, when Jamie Foxx did the best soundtrack, and he's like, straight out of Compton.
Oh, wait, no. Was great.
That was pretty good. And you know, the thing is I guarantee you, because the man he was giving it to, Tarantino, laughed at that joke and totally got it and is totally supportive. You know, because it's just, something's got to be done. I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day by Kevin Smith. God, I listen to a lot of his podcasts. And his co-host on Fat Man on Batman is a African-American writer named Mark Bernardin, who writes for Playboy. And he was talking about how even in the 70s and 80s, there was more diversity on TV than there is now.
Yeah.
Hispanics on TV. There was a lot of black people on TV. Nowadays, okay, we got one show for each. We got
Blackish, and we got Fresh Off the Boat.
Actually, I don't even think Hispanics have a show anymore.
George Lopez doesn't have a show right now.
No, but Telenovas is coming out, so Eva Longoria is bringing it.
It wasn't just for me. It wasn't just the nomination, like the lack of diversity in the nominations, but the stories and the product themselves of these movies. Some of them, of which I loved. I don't know if there's been a bigger white people problems Oscar. Like,
good call, man. Like, I didn't think about that, dude.
I'm a white person. I have problems. I'm fed up. Dan and I watched Anomalisa the other day.
Oh, God.
And when you think about the struggles that people are actually going through, to spend 90 minutes with a character that's just like, I'm so successful.
A character I wish would have shot himself in the head in the beginning of the movie and saved me 90 fucking minutes.
I'm so successful, and I'm not sure who I want to sleep with. That's a movie we just watched. When Beast of No Nation is out there, like, it's just the the content of these movies is also dangerously white.
Look, I'm a huge fan of Charlie Kaufman. That dude writes some awesome movies. He's even directed a good one, I think, before. Well, he's directed one before this, right?
Synecdoche.
Yeah, oh, actually, I'm sorry, I haven't seen that one yet. But I've heard that's a pretty decent movie. But this movie was terrible. This for me, I know it's on everybody's top 10. It's got 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, blah, 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 blah. Somebody stupidly said it was the most human movie they've ever seen. I'm like, wow, this is what you think humanity is? I feel so sorry for anybody who thinks that. That's not what humanity is. That's what a sorry little, like Josh said, a sorry, depressed, middle-aged man who's not happy with his family and not happy with his life, so he wants to go have an affair. Fuck you. Sorry. I'm sorry about that. And we're going to keep it clean for the rest of the show. But that movie, I'm sorry. Not. I'm going to put that down with... I'm going to say Insurgent was better, and that's on the bottom of my list.
And so some of these movies are great and important. Like, the Big Short is an important story tell. But there's literally room there. There's two more spots to even out the...
Yeah, and if you take out Spotlight, which was terrible, you got three spots.
Yeah, you know what movies were winning Oscars when this started and has been winning for years and years? Epics.
Right.
Why don't we have epics anymore? Why don't we have good times at the movies? Like, Hateful Eight's friggin' epic. The Revenant, which thank God got nominated, is an epic. That's what we need. We need more movies like that. It's just
The Martian's pretty epic.
The Martian is epic.
The Martian's great, but yeah,
and I understand that, but. And they're putting The Big Short and Spotlight in there because, they're acting pieces and they're just, whatever. I'm sorry.
The last big epic I can really think of would be Lord of the Rings or Hobbit. I mean, because those are epic feeling movies. But even those, I mean, there have been others after that are epic that don't get a nod at all. At least a nomination. I mean,
I could be misremembering, but I think the last, big... Like, literal epic in the terms of, we're talking about, old school movies that was a crowd pleaser that also went on to win Best Picture was maybe Gladiator.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, Potter said Return of the King, I think, went after, though.
Yeah, but
Return of the King was more of a lifetime achievement.
It was. They were giving him credit for the massive achievement.
Doing three movies in 3 years.
Yeah. And doing something that everybody said could not be done. And hell yeah. Now anything can be done.
Yeah,
anything can be done. So, anyway, so I think basically I don't think we need to. I mean,
well, is there anything in the specific categories that do we have favorites? Like for instance,
well, I think we're gonna get through them in the top 10. So, but
oh no, but I mean, like in the like to me, one thing that does make me happy about these nominees. Is to see somebody like, whether he wins or not, and I'm not even sure if he deserves to, but to see somebody like Adam McKay nominated for director and writer, to me shows that, and again, another white dude, but it shows that maybe the Academy is capable of bending a little bit, because comedy is something that's
What
never
is Mad Max doing in
That's crazy.
But you know, I haven't seen it, so I have no judgment on it, but like...
Mad Max? I thought you went with us.
No, I didn't. It's sitting on my DVR at home. I won't get to it till next week.
It is. The problem is Kyle's not going to get it.
But I'm not saying it's not good.
On the big screen.
Right.
Like, I'll enjoy it, but like, there's a Mad Max movie nominated for Best Picture and Best Director.
Okay.
Right.
That's great. And I'm not against it. It's just like, that's surprising to me.
I'll say this. I think it deserves more of a Best Director nomination than a Best Movie nomination.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. It's... Mad Max is a great movie, but there really is absolutely no story there. The story is zero to nothing.
It's a chase movie.
There was not even
a
script.
It's an extended chase scene.
Yeah, exactly. The dialogue is okay. The acting is fine. Charlize is really good. Tom Hardy barely says a damn word.
He mumbles through
the whole thing.
He channels his Mel Gibson.
Nicholas Holt was awesome. Nicholas Holt was awesome. The kid who, have a lovely day. He was awesome. But the movie... It is a technical achievement, but why we have technical awards.
Right.
So if you want to give him a director nomination for the stunning action masterpiece he definitely pulled off, awesome. Give it to him. But
the Academy is
overall the movie doesn't deserve it.
The Academy is allowed to give out special Oscars too. Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but they in the past for something that wasn't a Best Picture movie necessarily, but did something great with effects work or whatever, they would give a special Oscar to that person for the very specific thing they did or something. I was hoping that they would like give one over just for like the BB-8 puppeteers.
Like, seriously.
It's nice to see Star Wars on here, but I am sad that it's not under makeup. I don't know what the 100-year-old man who disappeared is, but that's Star Wars.
That's why I
think for a second I thought like Mel Brooks, but that was thousand-year-old
man. Yeah.
A 100-year-old man. Yeah, what is that? Anyway.
That's why I think for a category like visual effects, I know that blankets everything in a movie, you know, visually everything. But sometimes I really feel like they should split it out into practical effects and digital effects. Right. Or, you know, like have subcategories.
Yes, I agree.
Just because Star Wars and Mad Max, both, are very practically shot movies. The effects are heavily practical with some digital things here and there. I mean, Star Wars, you know, you have to have some digital. But Mad Max was pretty much all practical. So I feel like...
So was The Martian, right? Because I'm trying to remember like how much CG was in The Martian.
Most of it was...
Besides stuff in space, obviously.
Practical. Right.
Yeah, there was a lot of practical work in that movie.
And that's one of those things that isn't... No. I had forgotten about that. That's just one of those things that a lot of people don't realize anymore. I was talking to a guy, and I think I've talked to a couple of you about it too, but matte paintings... Yeah. Are such a cool thing, and they are not utilized anymore ever. But you talk about, and I know this risks getting into a Star Wars discussion. Darn! But matte paintings were the crowning achievement of the original trilogy in some respects, because
agreed.
Those painters are so good that if you set up a shot now with somebody that never seen Star Wars, doesn't know anything about matte paintings, and you said, hey, check out this shot, and they're like, oh, that's a really cool digital effect. Well, no, actually, it's a matte painting, and it blows their mind every single time, because the matte paintings are so detailed and so well done. I think stuff like that is a practical, technical achievement. It should be awarded.
And this is television, unfortunately, but how important matte paintings were in the original Star Trek series.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
When they replaced the special effects on Star Trek... They didn't replace very many of those matte paintings because they were so beautiful. Even if they didn't look real on that show now, you look at them still, they are beautiful, and you don't want to take that artist's work out of it.
Absolutely.
So I totally agree with you. I think there should, and like Josh says, maybe they will give special Oscars out to these people for these things. Because one thing about the movies this year, and I think it was Mr. Moorhead and I who were discussing this yesterday. It might have been you, though, after he left. Maybe. I think it was Moorhead. We were talking about how beautiful movies were this year, and how the cinematography category is by far
I think that's the strongest category in this whole.
It is
the most daunting
honestly,
to look at.
It was the NFC West 2 years ago when everybody was good in the NFC West. It was the NFC West of this Oscars, because other than Carol is the only one I haven't seen, which I have to see, because a movie like Carol, which I do want to see, but a period piece about a lesbian affair in with The Hateful Eight, Mad Max Fury Road, The Revenant, and Sicario. Like, that movie must be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Because all those movies are beautiful.
I also feel, and again, I know, bias, but Force Awakens had gorgeous cinematography.
It did, too.
And I feel like that could have easily gotten a cinematography nomination.
It could.
But,
which makes me want to see Carol even more, because Carol got in there before it did.
I
agree. Okay. But I really wish that there was I don't really want to get into Star Wars being for Best Picture, but
it could have. Look, if you can nominate Avatar for Best Picture, Force Awakens is miles above Avatar as a film.
Everybody agrees Avatar was much better when it was Dances with Wolves / Ferngully.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ferngully with machine guns.
In 3D.
Yep.
There you go. So,
an awesome Mexican.
I'm going to read off the Best Picture. not all of them. Not all the categories. I'm just going to read off the Best Pictures, and I'm going to tell you which one I would take out, and I want to put Star Wars, Creed, and what did we say earlier? Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton. Yep.
So, Big Short, I'm fine with. Bridge of Spies, I'm fine with. I love Steven Spielberg. Brooklyn, very, very good movie. I liked Brooklyn a lot. Mad Max Fury Road, all right. I'll give it. Technical achievement. The Martian, I love The Martian. The Revenant, one of my favorite pictures of the year. Easy. Room, I have not seen. So
Room is so good.
I've heard that.
Room should be there. Room deserves to be there.
Thank you, Kyle, for backing me up. Room, last one, the one I would take out, Spotlight.
Absolutely.
Get out. You know what? I understand what we're doing here, and it's a big deal that we're going after the Catholic priests, and hell yeah, I'm Catholic, and I say we should go after those mother effers, because they are disgusting.
It's not mother effers, it's kid effers. Mostly, you know, let's be honest.
Bazing!
But no, it's just the movie lacked any emotion.
It did! In a movie that should have emotion.
Yes, and in the end, when it's like, look, our victory, well, don't be too celebratory, because, you know, we sort of buried this story 10 years ago, so we can't even celebrate our victory yet. So there is no.
I don't know if this is a word, but I use it all the time. It's not filmic, like Mad Max. That's art that only a movie can do, whether it's good or not or whatever. But Spotlight is just it's a news article. It's an essay. Right.
Can you make a more compelling documentary than you could that movie?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to the real people. I don't need to see Hollywood's hottest stars unprettied.
Yeah.
You know, but just to...
Or like you know, that lawyer that you're going to go see about this case. He's wacky, man. He's crazy. And then it's just Stanley Tucci with a bunch of files on his desk acting like a normal human being.
Right.
What is the point of any of that movie other than, hey, look, Boston and priests?
Right. But guys, they can make movies based off of board games like Battleship.
Look, I mean, when they pulled into that overhead shot with all the buoys there, and they had like B5, boom, you know, come on, there's nothing better than that.
Yep.
Compelling moment in cinema.
Poor Taylor Kitsch.
So I think we all agree, at least the ones we've seen Spotlight, it doesn't deserve to be in that.
Which one?
Category.
We should
I'll,
all say.
I'll have to watch it. I feel like I would agree with you guys, but I'll have to watch it.
Yes, they do.
For myself.
Who do we all think is, who would be our pick to win?
Best picture?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with The Revenant.
I would have to go with The Revenant.
I haven't seen The Revenant yet, but my vote would go to The Martian,
but
I'm guessing it'll be The Revenant.
Martian is very 1B. Like,
or Room.
It's very 1B.
Or Room.
Yeah.
I could vote for Room.
I have to see Room. That's Room's the only one I haven't seen on this list, I just realized.
Yep.
I would also be happy with Bridge of Spies or Brooklyn winning, just because the small movie, Brooklyn would be my small movie, and Bridge of Spies because I love Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, and the Coen brothers, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Everything about that movie.
Watch Room.
I'm going to watch Room. I'll probably watch it tonight, actually.
It's definitely.
Which is probably good that I didn't do it now, because I was afraid, after I started doing this top 10 list, actually I ranked every movie I saw this year. I started watching more movies and more movies, and unfortunately things got bumped out of the top 10 before we got here. But that's okay. We're going to get to that. Actually, I think that's a good segue, unless you got some final thoughts on the Oscars, anybody? All right, let's move on.
Why you got to be so white, Oscar?
Yeah.
Your name's Oscar.
He's a gold naked man.
So I think
The most color in the Oscars this year is going to be in the statues.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
joke fell flat.
Well, no, it's just sad because it's a true statement.
Exactly. I just like, it's a joke.
Do we know? Okay, this is so stupid. But do you guys know why it's called the Oscar?
I think I know the story, but I can't remember.
Go it's ahead. Because I forget who it was, but the actual man holding the man on the award looked like this janitor named Oscar.
Yeah.
So, like, this actress started calling it Oscar, and then it just stuck.
But it's the weirdest damn thing ever. It looks like he's holding a broom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they turned it into whatever it is now. But
fascinating.
That is very interesting, but that sounds very familiar. I think I have heard that before.
And on that lackluster note.
Yeah, exactly.
Top 10. So I think I'm gonna throw this to Kyle to start with his top 10.
Oh, great. Ooh, thanks.
Get right into it, my friend.
First
Kyle.
Tease.
All right.
Hey, if you understand the way I do it at Christmas, I always make myself go last. Opening presents, I mean.
Is that very how you nice. Do things all the time, or...
Yes.
That's how every man should do things all the time.
Yes.
Okay, so there's going to be some surprises on this list. There's going to be some non-surprises.
Yeah, surprises.
Especially near the top.
Before we start,
before
you start, I want to say this. Because I'm going to mention my 11th and my 12th. But I want each one of you guys to mention at least your 11th, whichever was the hardest one to leave off that list. And is it safe to say that our number one is all the same?
No.
Cool. But let's get there. Let's let it happen. Yeah. Good. Then we won't do it. Wow.
Yeah.
Kick your ass later, Morehead.
Well,
or Bound. Damn. All right, go.
No. Mine's exactly.
What's your number 11? What was the hardest one to leave off the list?
I don't know. You're going to have to come back to me on that one.
Okay, you can think about that.
I don't know. It took me between like 5 or 6 movies.
That's a fine answer, actually. That means the top 10 wasn't as hard as you think.
No.
So, all right.
No, I think my 10, my 10 came together fairly well.
Starting strong.
Number 10, and this is probably going to be a bit of a surprise, Steve Jobs.
Okay.
I really like Steve Jobs. No. As a biopic, it is horrible.
Well, that's not
wholly inaccurate. Fassbender does a terrible Steve Jobs. There was not one moment where I'm watching this going, my God, he's such a good Steve Jobs. It's a great acting job, but he is not Steve Jobs. No. That is not an accurate story,
right.
But it is a really compelling, like, 3-act play.
It is.
That I really liked. Sorkin is great, even when he's copying his own jokes and dialogue from before.
Yep.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it, and it's, you know, it sneaks into my top 10 right there just because I needed something else.
Yeah. No, that's a good top 10, and it totally, if anybody out there knows Kyle as well as we do, that makes sense. And not saying that he has a bias towards it, but it's one of his favorite writers, one of his favorite subject matters.
Yeah, it's Sorkin, it's nerdy, it's Apple.
It's, you know, Steve Jobs, and you read that Steve Jobs book, too.
I started reading it. I don't read as much as I should.
It's a thick book.
Unfortunately, it's a very thick book.
And it's accurate, which is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't need accuracy in my nonfiction.
You should just machine gun through. I think we should all just machine gun fire through, like, the 10, and then we all react. So you should go like, okay.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay, number 9 is Furious 7.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, I just had to. I love that movie so much. Nice. 8 is Bridge of Spies. I'm just going to say one sentence about each of them.
Yeah, that's fine.
8 is Bridge of Spies. It's really tight. The acting is great. It's by the book directing, but it's a book Spielberg wrote, so you can't really mark it down for that.
It's timely, too. It is very timely.
Yes. 7 is Sleeping with Other People. I don't know if anybody else saw that.
About that.
No.
It is hilarious.
I don't even have that on my list.
It's Alison Brie. It's
Sudeikis, right?
Jason Sudeikis.
Holy crap!
They're two friends. They almost hook up, and they're friends for a long time. It's sort of one of those like non-romantic comedies, romantic comedies.
Yeah,
really funny. There's a great scene where he teaches her how to play with herself. Using a Gatorade bottle.
I need to see this movie.
Really funny. It's so funny. I love it. You guys will love it. There's a lot of people who don't like it and won't like it, but you guys will like it.
I don't feel so bad about my F word anymore.
No,
you shouldn't. 6 is Straight Outta Compton, which I know at least one other person here is going to have in their top 10.
Oh, yeah.
5th, and this is where it starts getting hard.
All right.
For me, is sort of these top 5, putting these in order. 5th, and maybe it's just because I saw it so recently and I need some time to get away from it. And maybe it'll go higher. Maybe it'll go lower. I don't know. 5th is Hateful Eight.
Okay.
Sneaks into the top 5. 4th is The Martian, which I actually ended up seeing again last night.
Oh,
love
cool.
that movie. Very good movie. 3rd is Room. And again, everybody needs to see that if you haven't. 2 is Creed.
Yeah.
Nice.
And number 1 is, of course, Star Wars The Force Awakens. Because of course it is. Yeah. I cannot be objective when it comes to that movie. No. I just can't. It's Star Wars is back.
Yeah.
I love that you were brave enough to include Furious 7. Because I've only seen it once this year, but when I, like, that was, I think my reaction coming out of the theater was like, it was, I think I put on Facebook, that was the best movie I've ever seen. Like, it was just, it was so thoroughly itself and entertaining, and just purely it in such a rewarding way. It was joyous.
It was everything it wanted to be, was supposed to be, and should have been.
Yeah.
And that's...
It was perfect execution.
I mean,
my second favorite Furious movie.
My philosophy when it comes to judging movies on a year is not what's the best technically, what's going to win Oscars.
Amen.
What's the, you know, what's the high-minded, you know, nose in the air, best feature film.
Yeah.
It's all about what entertained me, what succeeded at what it was trying to do.
Yes. Oh my God.
You know, sort of grading everything on its own.
I couldn't put it better any other way. That's exactly the way I would have said it. I was going to say that.
So I was at war with myself with Steve Jobs too, and I discluded it for the, like, I agreed with you for all the reasons you included it, but I kicked it off for all the reasons you said it was terrible.
Which is, we
were just landed on opposite sides of this point.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. It's if I didn't include it, it would have been 11, 12. Right, it's right. Just,
I had Furious. Yeah. I had Furious 7 down at 15. Where the hell do I have Steve Jobs? By the way, I rank every single movie I saw this year. We're not going to go through the whole list.
Brave, yeah, man.
But,
yeah.
But
he will post his list on the waywenerd.com. Yes,
and we're going to talk more about that at the end. We're going to talk more about that at the end. But yeah, I can't even find Steve Jobs on here. I know I had him higher than this. Oh, there he is, 25. So he made the top 25.
There we go.
But yeah, I put Mr. Furious 7 at 15, and that was, I, like Kyle, I had four or five that, those four or five could easily sneak into the top 10. I'm not going to go through them, like I said, you're going to have to go to the website and read what my top 15 are, but I will give you my top 10.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so I think I agreed with Kyle about five out of 10 on there, I think.
All right.
Yeah, there's some nice. maybe six out of 10 if I remember, but
when you see Room, it'll be 7.
Yeah, it's, who's next on the block here?
And I think we're going to bring up Mr. Potter, the man who saw 10 movies this year.
Yeah, 10.
So his list is very easy.
Potter is more of our radio play guy.
I would say
the old Shadow serial.
I would say it's because Potter has a girlfriend, man. But so does Kyle. And Kyle saw plenty of damn movies. So
I saw plenty of these movies with my girlfriend. Let me see. I saw one.
I have other pursuits that prevented me from seeing all the movies I wanted. But
we
will,
all masturbate.
Which we won't. I saw like seven of these 10 with my girlfriend.
Like seven times.
which, speaking of which, Mr. Potter, what is it that else that you do so you could plug that really quick so people can look for that?
I mean, shameless plug. I build prop replicas and things of stuff like Star Wars helmets, Captain America shields.
And where can people order these?
Then go on Etsy. I'll put a link on thewaywinger.com.
Exactly.
What?
Check the show notes.
What's your Etsy shop name?
Pop Culture Replicas.
Okay.
Yeah.
He does amazing work. Later today, I will show you what he did for my Finn's gun from Star Wars. I bought the little toy that was the orange and white thingy. Wait till you guys see what he did with this gun, and I'm definitely going to have to put an orange tip on it, because police in L.A. will shoot me if they see that anywhere in my hand. So, anyway, all right, Potter, so since you had the easiest top 10,
well,
then there's no 11 to talk about.
I did and I didn't. Here's the thing. Since I only saw 10 movies, I then had to put them in an order, you know.
Good call. That's true. Because you probably only saw movies you really knew you were going
to... I try to, and now that I'm out here in California, I want to go see more movies all the time again. But I stopped seeing a lot of movies in theaters because it was, for me, I was like, what is a big screen experience? What am I going to miss out on if I don't see it on the big screen? Something like Mad Max. I feel like if you don't see it at least once on a big screen, you'll lose a little something in translation. Not much, but it's one of those big screen experiences. Same with Star Wars and things like that. It helps to see it on a big screen.
I will point out, though, that before you even do your list, I know you forgot about one that we talked about the other day.
Did I?
No,
tell me what we forgot about, and then maybe I'll work it in.
The Ridiculous Six. So good luck working.
You watch
that
Ridiculous Six? I love Adam Sandler. I didn't see the Ridiculous Six.
Oh, we'll talk about the Ridiculous Six maybe later.
You might as well
never.
Just put it at six, just for funsies.
So
that would be ridiculous.
So there's number 11.
There's number 11, man. All the way, number 11. No, I know.
Worst movie he saw this year.
Because I have not seen Room or Creed or Straight Outta Compton, those three, probably all three of those will sneak into my top 10. So those would be my 11, 12, 13 without having seen them, just because I know I will enjoy all of them. Also, The Hateful Eight and The Revenant. I have not seen either of those. So I've got a lot of work to do before the Oscars. But as far as my top 10 of what I saw, this is the way I ordered it. Number 10, Terminator Genesis. It was fun. It wasn't the, I guess, kind of soft reboot everybody expected, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean,
I liked it too.
I'm with you.
I don't know if they've killed this rumor, but supposedly since it did so well in China, we still might get a T6.
They took it away.
They did?
Yeah.
China's marketing crashed, man. It's bad.
Oh, well,
bad
that's
yeah.
Bad for the movies, bad for the world.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, it did what it wanted to do, and I thought the recasting was fine.
Yeah.
Kyle Reese was great. All the little
Arnold's
nods,
relationship
throwbacks.
with the
Arnold was great.
Arnold was so good.
Yeah.
This was like the year of people reprising their best
roles. It was. I agree. I agree.
At number 9 was Trainwreck. I don't know if you guys saw Trainwreck.
I did. Trainwreck.
But
I enjoyed Trainwreck a lot.
It was great. It was. It's not as laugh out loud funny. as you might think, which is a good thing, because I think everybody expects Amy Schumer to be just really raunchy, inappropriate,
there's more
lots of expletives all the time. But yeah, it really gets you in the feels sometimes. I regret saying that.
LeBron James is really
funny. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
best supporting actor nom right there. Another black guy left off the list.
It's just really well done.
I don't do that comedy.
It kind of touches on every emotion, which is great. It's a good blend. Number eight, Minions. Minions was fun. It's really the only animated movie I've seen so far. I still need to see Inside
Very
Out.
Cute.
But
I liked Minions.
Yeah, I was worried about it because it's a spinoff about the Minions, but when I saw it, I was like, all right, this is pretty awesome. Pretty adorable. Number seven, I put Age of Ultron, which at first surprised me, and then I thought about it more, and I was like, no, you know...
That belongs lower on the list or higher?
Lower. Like at seven. I really, I'm the first person that I love Marvel. Hardcore Marvel.
Yes.
But there were other movies
that I enjoyed more
than Age of Ultron, honestly.
There were other Marvel movies last year I enjoyed more.
Yes,
I mean, one, I guess.
Which is further up my list. It was cool. It was great. Watched it again recently. Enjoyed it again a third time. So, yeah, it deserves to be on there for now. Six, I put Spectre. James Bond was awesome. Slick, stylish, you know, everything it should be. Five, Jurassic World for me. Jurassic World was great. People that hate on it, I think, don't understand what it was trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just a fun movie.
Jurassic World is a better, and I'm stealing this from somebody, but Jurassic World is a better pure sequel to Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Than it either is, Lost World or Jurassic Park 3.
It's the sequel that 2 and 3 should have been.
Yeah, it's basically the one they probably want to make, but they couldn't make because of money-wise.
Right.
Because once you see that beautiful park, you're just like, oh, that's what they're going for.
Right. Yep.
But
number four, I put Ant-Man. Because nice. Ant-Man was fantastic.
Ant-Man
it was funny.
Great.
It was hilarious.
I want to watch that one again. I only saw it once in the theater. I need to watch that one again.
Yeah, it's just it's so brilliant, and the comedy is spot on. Yeah. It's a heist movie.
Well,
Michael Peña steals the whole movie,
movie.
It is so hard, and every scene he's in, he steals.
Yeah.
He steals.
Which just a little side note on that, and then I won't get too deep into it, but Edgar Wright wrote that part specifically for Michael Peña.
Yes,
and Paul Rudd and Peyton Reed kept it.
Yeah,
they're like, no, this is too good. So that was one of the things that survived from Edgar Wright's script, and thank God it did, because Peña was amazing.
It was brilliant, and I would expect him to be in the sequel.
He's in there.
Because Paul Rudd and his dynamic are fantastic.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward. I think the sequel's going to be better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really do.
Well, Paul Rudd's writing it, I think, or helping
write
it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be there.
And Academy Award nominee Adam McKay will also have a hand in it.
That's right.
Yeah. See?
I like how you drop an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah.
And plus,
that's what Adam McKay does. Yeah.
They are also making, it's called The Ant-Man and the Wasp. So it is very much Evangeline Lilly's movie as well. Probably even more so than Paul Rudd's.
As it should be. That's
like
going to be great.
The way Scarlett Johansson took over The Last Captain America.
Number three.
Continue, Potter.
Okay, number three is The Martian. As we were saying before, it's epic, it's fun, it has some comedy. It's a great movie. It's a great Ridley Scott movie. Matt Damon is fantastic in it. I have yet to dislike a Matt Damon performance. So
Matt Damon he's been good since he was the bad guy in School Ties.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the first time I saw him. I don't know if he's been...
The Talented Mr. Ripley was a good one.
Yeah, that was early in his career. Courage Under Fire, which ends up watching. That movie's forgotten for some reason. That's such a good movie. And Matt Damon is so good in that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and he can do anything. The dude can do action. He can do drama. He can do, and now he proves he can do comedy, according to Golden Globes.
Well, he wasn't stuck on you.
Yeah. He was. And he was in Dogma, and he was brilliant in Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
He was awesome in Dogma. Like, I
can't be anal retentive if you don't have an anus.
I am looking forward to the Affleck and Damon reuniting someday, and hopefully it's a comedy. I don't want it to be something serious. I want
Dogma 2.
I want to be something funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, what was that? That was three, right?
That was three. Two was Mad Max, because it is a chase movie, and that's all it is. That is the only plot that is in that movie, and it succeeds. as a chase movie for 90 minutes, 2 hours. I don't remember the runtime, but...
It's Rat Race without John Cleese.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's such a funny movie, dude. Oh, I forgot about Rat Race.
I was working in a movie theater when Rat Race came out.
The scene with John Lovitz, and he burns his tongue, and he has got the little Hitler mustache. And, of course, Mr. Bean is in it, but I'm sorry.
Of course.
Going off track a little bit.
No, but yeah, Mad Max was just so brilliantly directed, so well shot.
It was
epic. It was explosive. It was just pure entertainment, and we don't get enough of that. I think,
Road Warrior is still the best Mad Max, though.
Yes, I would. No, sorry, I agree. Yeah,
I didn't want to step on your foot there.
No.
Continue. Kyle was saying.
No, Kyle was saying earlier that he doesn't judge movies by whether they're like a feature film or.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of snobbish, I guess, too, saying that
these are our favorite movies.
There are top 10.
I think people forget that movies are supposed to entertain, first of all. Most movies. Documentaries are supposed to present a, you know, real life topic, whatever, unless it's a mockumentary. But at its core, a movie should entertain you.
It should. I mean, that's why there's no real wrong answer. And I know we have friends out there, Kyle Hasday, who will say there is wrong answers. Love you, Kyle. But look at like what Josh and I were talking about with Amelisa. It's everybody's celebrating it as a masterpiece, and we think it's absolute garbage. Not that we didn't like the movie. We don't think it was a good movie.
Right.
But it's still our opinion. You know, it's still and I will be the first to say that. But just like Josh said, and Kyle, I go to the movies to be entertained. I get enough real life in real life.
Yeah.
I don't need my movies to match it. I'll go see documentaries. But I want to be entertained. First and foremost, entertained, and then you can inform me some stuff.
Yep.
So your most entertaining movie of the year.
And that's why number one is The Force Awakens.
Absolutely.
Hands down, because it's Star Wars. I mean, come on. You go to a galaxy far, far away. You check out A Normal Life, and you're there. And I was so immersed. Every time I've seen that movie, I have been immersed. And I just kind of forget about
it. It gets better each time.
Yeah.
It gets better each time.
Absolutely. It has a huge staying power. Yeah. It's going to be around for a while.
It is. They're saying that it's not going to catch Avatar, and it might not, but it's going to get pretty damn close. Because I think Star Wars fans are going to do their best to try to get it there.
Yeah.
And there's no fan base out there. Sorry, Harry Potter. Sorry, Hunger Games. Sorry, One Direction. There's no rabid fan base out there more than friggin' Star Wars.
The problem is...
I'm loyal.
The only reason it won't get there is because Star Wars fans have done their part by miles. We put it over Avatar in America. Avatar got the highest grossing movie in America after 47 days. We got Star Wars to beat Avatar in like 20 or 21. The problem is nobody cares nearly as much overseas.
You're probably right.
Like if you look at the numbers, like it's not going to catch Avatar just because outside of America, where they hate freedom.
Why do you hate freedom, man?
Those godless commies don't love it like we do. But it's still
well. The godless commies in China loved it because it blew up over there.
It already dropped though.
But they all do that in the second week.
It's next. Yeah, Avatar. We don't have to get into the
no. We don't. But we just as Potter just said, the crash over there probably had something to do with that too.
Exactly.
But I think the problem is nobody wants Avatar to be number one. I'd rather Titanic be number one. I think Titanic is way better movie than Avatar.
Well, at least we can hang on monumental. To that in America, it is the highest grossing.
It is. And nothing's going to catch anytime soon unless Episode 8 blows people away.
Yeah.
Which it might.
We'll see. But I think there will be... people need to expect this. There will be a drop-off once Episode 8 comes out because there's no way... you could get the fever pitch.
Well, the traditional trajectory for trilogies and their release patterns and box office is high first, low second, and then if you're lucky, you get even higher on the third. But
because
we hit such a big number with the first one that I don't anticipate, and I'm not upset about it either. The following two not getting that.
And I love how Josh uses the word "we," like you know the way you do with the sports teams when you say "we." Yeah, we're not playing for the team, but we are very much a part of that team. Because if it wasn't for us, this wouldn't exist. Star Wars is very much fan driven.
Star Wars is about me.
Oh, yeah.
It belongs to all of us. So
I'm Ray.
We is very me. Very.
I'm a lost little girl.
All right.
All right.
I guess we made most comments on Mr. Potter's. Did you have any comments on his top 10?
No.
I would just say this. The only thing about Minions. I mean,
those are the 10 movies he saw.
Right.
Yeah. So, right? I mean,
yes, I have a comment. See more movies.
Hate it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. Hate okay. me.
Earn your next year when we do this, when we do top 10 movies of 2016, Potter, you better have at least 25 under your belt.
This is the thing, now
that we're doing this, I'm sure you'll see a lot more with us. And remember, some people have screeners. So anyway, let's move on to Mr. Moorhead's.
Top 10 is my nebulous spot.
Did you have an 11 that was too hard to keep
well,
out?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, 10 is your nebulous.
Because I have to see Brooklyn. I have to see Room. And I feel like either of those would easily get on my list in a very strong, emphatic way.
Yeah.
And at 10, I already had, like, I don't know, is it Bridge of Spies? Is it? But I think it's Hateful Eight. Hateful Eight has just stuck with me. It's not as important or, like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just stuck with me. Something about how off the walls it is.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'll ever watch it again, because 3 hours and 8 minutes is a long time
have.
To That's spend in a cabin.
A lot.
But, yeah.
I already have.
9, and this might make you mad that it's not higher, but this could change by the time it gets to the blog, but probably not. Straight Out of Compton.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
I thought you were going to say Star
no,
Wars.
Hell no.
I was going to lose my shit.
No,
9?
No, I am
on. I'm
going
to punch you right now.
I'm not like, evil.
This is about to end you.
No, I would hope. If I ever say anything like that, I would rather, like, if I'm about to marry an evil woman, I'd rather you guys shut up about that than, like, if I was ever like, I don't know, Star Wars was okay. That's when you intervention with me. That's more important.
Right. No, I'm not. I'm just happy you cracked your top 10 because I knew you would enjoy it.
No, it was great. It was super entertaining. There's something about its execution that was really well done, because a lot of times when you're watching a biopic, like, it can be good, but you feel like you're going through the motions.
Yeah.
They did a really good job with Straight Out Compton in that, like, Suge Knight wasn't just some guy they knew. He was, like, the villain.
Yeah.
Like, they're very good about making the characters specific kinds of characters. It felt like the Avengers, almost, when it was starting.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit, it's Drake.
NWA Assemble.
Yeah.
And then the way they leave it open for a sequel at the end is like, what's your record label called?
Yeah, it was
Aftermath.
Yeah, it was very... You know, it's just like... And maybe that was Legendary's hand in the development of it, because Legendary does big, massive movies. But yeah, the last line of the movie is a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
As if it was like, we just found Thor's hammer in the desert.
Exactly, it is. To me, it is because that story is just as interesting... The development of Dre's Aftermath label, because it was a failure in the beginning.
And so. Look, it also made me mad at anybody that's like, I don't care for all that rapping or whatever, or like somebody in the middle of like Iowa that would be like, who cares about like an NWA movie? When you over the first 2 minutes of the credits where they show you the reach that they had and the culture, everything that's branched off from them, that's like Black Beatles, man. Like, they're an important part of our culture.
Just as important to music as the Beatles were. Yeah. I don't care what, if you want to attack me on that, I love the Beatles. Beatles are my favorite band. But NWA is just as important to music as the Beatles are.
And to make myself look like an asshole after defending minority representation in, like, the Oscars and everything, in my own list, I put The Big Short Straight Out of Compton. but The Big Short is a great movie. It's a very important and hard-to-penetrate topic that the movie does the service of penetrating in the most entertaining way. They break the fourth wall penetrating. Yeah. Well, it's
penetrating
good
in the most entertaining way.
Yeah.
Well, no, I have not seen
it.
More entertaining.
To be
I
fair,
definitely need to
maybe
see
that's
the
just
short.
Because of where I had my thumb while I was watching the movie.
Ah, there it is.
But it, to not give too much away, it's really inventive.
Christian Bale does walk around his underwear a lot, doesn't he?
I don't remember. But you're watching it.
Just boxer shorts.
They're in the middle of a scene where they're talking about the crisis and what happened, and you're like, okay, I know this is important, but I feel dumb. I can't wrap my head around it. And then literally Ryan Gosling turns to the screen and goes, this is hard to get, isn't it? And then you're like, yeah. And he's like, okay, here's Margot Robbie in a bathtub explaining it to you with charts instead of us. And then it just cuts to that. Like, it's crazy.
I like The Big Short. Big Short is way better than Spotlight.
At 7, and I feel like I'm the only one that has this on their list. Maybe. We haven't gotten to you yet. But Kingsman.
I forgot about Kingsman.
That was a great
movie. It was so much fun.
Yes.
It was so funny. The action, any moment in Star Wars is more viscerally exciting than anything else that happened this year.
Well, like but, I said, Star Wars is like a heroin injection. Yeah, so.
But the church scene. And King's Ben.
Yes. Oh man!
Over Freebird, you're like, what? How is this even possible? Yeah. Like that, and that to me, that's something that only a movie can do. That's heights that only a movie can get you to.
Who knew how much of a badass Colin Firth was?
Oh my god!
Mm-hmm. I mean, we already knew that you can act. And it could be romantic. Yeah. He could be funny.
And
the kid, can't wait for the sequel.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah. But he should, to me, that was like, oh, we've just landed on a huge star. Like, he should start in everything. He should be young Han.
I agree.
He should be.
I think the only reason he's
Batman.
Not.
He should. He was, what's I don't know, he in was coming great. Up?
I think the. Oh, I was going to talk about that, actually. I think the only reason he's not in Han Solo is because he's too friggin' busy. But yeah, we were watching a preview for a movie the other day about him being an Olympic skier.
Yeah.
It's basically a rehash of the Cool Running story, but it doesn't matter. The movie looks great.
With Hugh Jackman.
It's a white cool.
With Hugh Jackman. Yeah. And yeah, Taron Egerton is unrecognizable. Like both.
Yeah.
I don't know if Josh did, but Kyle didn't realize it was him.
Yeah.
In the preview, I was like, you know who that is, right?
And it looks great.
And he looks. Yeah. And he's
engaging.
Great.
He just.
He's a very, very good actor. He's very likable. I think he's got a huge, huge future.
Yeah.
And it sounds... I haven't heard his American accent yet, so that might be what's holding him back from Han Solo. Because he has a very thick Cockney English accent.
Yeah. But he was... I mean, he was...
But...
Fantastic. God, and so fun good. Movie. And just he's funny. So and
yeah, I agree, man.
Number six, The Martian.
Yeah.
It's The Martian.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really effective. It just didn't, move me as a... It
no,
can't be my number
place.
One because it, yeah.
Hey,
just,
I think six is a good place for The Martian.
Yeah. Five, Inside Out.
Mm.
I don't remember.
Interesting.
I don't remember.
Lower down my list, but it's in my top 20.
I don't remember things in particular about it besides, like, I really like Bing Bong. Like, I can't tell you, like, my favorite scene per se or whatever.
It's not as memorable as past Pixar movies, but.
I just know while I was in the theater and for, like, the hours after leaving the theater, I was like, wow, what a huge, like, I just felt like a huge impact from it.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I wanted to write about, like, how important feelings are and da-da-da-da-da.
I heard there's an edit online where they took out all the feeling stuff.
And you can just watch the girl.
Just watch the girl, and it's like a movie about hockey, but it's still just as moving.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah.
I don't know. I had issues with that movie. It was very clever and very smart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very well cast as well, the voice cast.
Yeah, it just
didn't
connect with me. But that's, that's me.
Yeah, if you had to tell me, like, pick... Like, out of these four Pixar movies, which one do you want to watch? I'd watch Finding Nemo before it. I would watch, like, Toy Story before it.
But, it's down to my list on Pixar movies, but...
I guess I'm also grading it on a curve just in terms of its sheer originality, and I think I gave it bonus points, too, because of how terrible I thought The Good Dinosaur was.
Terrible.
That's what I've heard. I've heard less than stuff.
Terrible? I thought it was pretty funny.
Well,
I don't know. Katie really didn't like it.
I'm also... It wouldn't be terrible if it was, like, Lionsgate Animations, The Good Dinosaur, but it's fucking Pixar.
It probably wasn't up to Pixar standards, but it's definitely the most... It goes with Cars as being more aimed at kids than everybody. Whereas Pixar usually excels at aiming at everybody. Good Dinosaur has a good story
The Good Dinosaur is
now humans and dinosaurs live together.
If you sat down for dinner with Emeril Lagasse or some other celebrity chef, and they gave you McNuggets.
Fair enough.
McNuggets are fine, but it's not
Bam.
To the list. Yeah.
Fair exactly. enough. Number three?
Number four.
Number four, okay.
Creed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Few movies literally bring me to the edge of my seat. Especially when you pretty much know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I was at the edge of my seat. In few performances, this is what I'm totally fine. I can't believe we didn't even mention this with the Golden Globes, but
Stallone winning
Best Supporting and Stallone being nominated for the Oscar. He should totally win just for his 45-second monologue in the middle of the movie that brought me to tears. From me being like, I'm fine, too. He's so right.
Okay, you want to know a great moment I had in that when he won that award? Hopefully everybody else did around here. The fact that Kurt Russell, Gabriel Cash, stood up and clapped the great Tango.
Yeah.
Tango and Cash, one of the greatest 90s action movies ever. Go ahead.
Yeah. I liked after he won too that they cut to him like coming back from commercial and the audience talking to Harrison Ford. I'm like, that's just so cool.
Yeah.
Three
is pretty cool.
Sicario. Sicario. Yeah. If these other two movies didn't exist this year, Sicario would be my number one. It was so artistic, and this is what I mean. Like these other movies, like Spotlight, that cover an issue, and you're like, okay, covered an issue. That's an important issue. Sicario covers an issue, is a thrilling story, and is a very, again, filmic. It's a movie.
Yeah.
It takes very advantage cinematic. Of the fact that it's a movie. It's very cinematic, right. And great performances, great cinematography.
God, last scene.
So much tension.
I didn't just see that movie.
It's in the last scene.
I wonder if it's not on your list.
Yeah.
It's really, really a fantastic movie. That's kind
There's
of
probably like five or important. Six movies that I didn't see that would be.
The only thing that undermines Sicario, I guess, is that it's the whole movie's about trying to take down a drug lord, right? And we just did that in real life by, like, sending Sean Penn to talk to him. So, like, I guess that maybe undermines the story. Oh,
yeah. I really hope Sean Penn makes it out of this.
Yeah. In an El Chapo world, it's a good movie to see.
The Mexican government threw him under the bus real good.
This is where you guys get mad at me, I guess, because my number two is The Force Awakens.
I know what his number one is, though, so...
You guys, right. I wish this was televised so you guys could see the look on Kyle's face.
I really wish
it's like I had friends before I came into this room that I won't have leaving.
Yeah.
But no, look, I will hands down watch The Force Awakens more times in my life than my number one.
I agree.
And it will have more importance because I'll sit down to watch it with my children and like yada yada yada. It had more importance to my year in terms of the event that it was and the memories, the stuff we talked about on the last pod. I mean, and obviously it's fantastic. There's no doubt that I'm not saying that.
That's not how the Force works.
Yeah. But my number one is Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
And that's why I can't hate you for it.
Because that movie, I'd
still say she should put it number two, but I can't hate you
for it. I feel like that movie was perfectly calibrated for me.
It is a very
like a love of my life movie.
It is a very wonderful
movie. I don't know how many more times I'll watch it before I croak. I know it won't be as many times as The Force Awakens, but I cannot watch that movie without being just enthralled and compelled. And
I don't know if it's just the way the suns are hitting your eyes right now, but they don't look like they're getting glassy.
I'm getting a little misty just thinking
about
it.
There's no reason it shouldn't, because you're right. That movie is...
It's a movie that loves movies. It's a movie that takes advantage of the fact that it's a movie like we were talking about. And has an appearance of Hugh Jackman as the fucking Wolverine, even though it's a movie, indie movie.
So technically, he has played the Wolverine, what would that be, nine times?
Ten times or something? Yeah.
That's another I need to see.
Yeah.
You definitely
and see. It is, it's so beautiful.
What's the main kid's name? That kid should be Han Solo,
forget,
by the way.
But yeah, that
main kid in that movie, you want to do some out-of-the-box casting that is going to blow people's socks off because it's going to be awesome? That kid for Han Solo.
The second character in it is going to be a Power Ranger. The main girl in it, Earl, is going to be a Power Ranger.
Yeah.
The Dying Girl is going to be in the next Spielberg movie. And the director, writer, this is the only thing he's done. His next movie already has, like, Will Smith and four other people in it because it's just that good.
Yeah, and he's a Latino. Hell yeah.
And Dan and I were talking about, we're pretty sure the Hugh Jackman cameo only happened after the movie was already... You'll understand if you see it was already made.
You could tell it was like EDR done like the week before.
Like it was like he saw it and was like, oh yeah, I will do anything.
Yeah, I'll put my voice.
Like it's just that good. And I don't know the last time I was in a theater when I saw it in theaters where I was just, I mean, I was a wreck. And not because it's sad, but because
it is, though, but still, in a good way, though. I mean, it's still uplifting in some way.
I feel like bittersweet. I feel like things that I believe, or that I believe I am as a person, that movie was about, and it was just perfect for me.
I could feel you. I could feel you. Yeah, cancer sucks. Anyway, but the movies about it sometimes are really freaking good. And after last year's Fault in Our Stars was also an amazing movie, but this one kind of trumps it. I have to say, this one trumps it. This one, it's on my list. I'll say that. So you'll see where it's at when I get to it.
Which is right now.
Yeah,
which is
right
now. All right.
You've avoided it long enough.
Best for last. So
Like I said, I saw actually 61 movies this year because I saw The Revenant the other day, and unfortunately The Revenant shook up my top 10. And in doing so, it knocked number 10 down to 11. 11 and 12 were hard for me to leave off the list because originally 11 was, or 12 is Avengers Age of Ultron. I really dug Avengers a lot. I thought it was just as good as the first one. I think it hit more emotional beats than the first one. Like when you see Tony Stark with all those dead bodies and realizing what he fears most, and you see that look on Robert Downey Jr.'s face, and how awesome was the Vision? I mean, God.
Yeah, I love that character.
Paul Bettany's just
good. He's just so good. And when he picks up the hammer and hands it to Thor and the look on... Dude, the movie was yes, there were some things in there like the naked Thor scene and the thing that didn't need to be there, and Whedon was, shoveled that because of the... Marvel has to fit, has to fit the Marvel universe or whatever. But, we're watching episodes of television in the movie theater with a bunch of people. Right. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Which we already talked about enough, but a number 11, which formerly number 10, was The Kingsman. So Kingsman was in my top 10, but The Revenant just knocked it off. I saw The Revenant, and people might think that'd be higher on the list because Leonardo DiCaprio is my favorite actor of all time. Kate Winslet is my favorite actress of all time, so these Golden Globes were very... good for me as far as that goes. Made me really want to watch Titanic. I thought The Revenant was gorgeous. It was violent. It was visceral. It was real. It was dirty. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely beautiful. And I love Leo's performance. I know there's some, and I actually want Josh to give his opinion here because he didn't like it as much. Leo's performance, I should say.
It's a good performance, but my opinion... This is being too crass because
no.
I'm like half joking.
Yeah.
But anybody can crawl through the woods and make crawling through the woods look hard.
I agree.
To me, his other performances, whether it's Wolf of Wall Street or even like Departed or something, are better performances. I'm not saying he shouldn't win. He should, given the competition. But
yeah.
And as a legacy award. Well, but it's just not... He only has like 5 lines of dialogue in the movie,
too. That's
very
true. Let me tell you why I think you might have missed the point on why his performance got nominated, or missed why his performance got nominated. I think his performance got nominated because of his relationship with his son. I really felt that relationship, and when he's watching his son die and the pain on his face, Leo's not a father.
Right, that's true.
So the way he pulled that out, it felt like Leo is a father. Maybe he does have a kid out there we don't know about, but...
Papa?
With all the women that Leo has been with, and all the models, I'm sure that's a possibility, but... He pulled off that performance so well, and when he was, every moment he had with his son, like it was just great. It was just that's why I think Leo got nominated. But anyway, okay, moving on from The Revenant, number 9, Bridge of Spies, and we talked a little bit about that earlier, and obviously, like I said, Spielberg, Tom Hanks, and the Coen brothers, it's recipe for Dan very happy, and also. I'm so happy that Mark Rylance got nominated for the movie because, like every time they asked him, I can't believe how calm you are. Aren't you nervous? Would it help? Like every time, is that what he say? Every time he says that, it's just, he breaks my heart in a good way. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a good movie and such a great performance. He's probably not going to win because he's got tough competition in that supporting category. But if he does, he will beat one of my favorites.
Yeah.
If he does, I won't be upset.
Right.
Because he was fantastic. Number 8, Ex Machina, starring three John Wick people, two Star Wars people, Oscar Isaac, Domhnall Gleeson. Am I saying that right?
General Hux.
General Hux, and Alicia Vikander from Man from U.N.C.L.E., and I think she got cast in something pretty major recently, too.
Is she nominated for The Danish Girl?
Yeah.
Is she?
I don't know if she's here. She was in Globes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. There she is. She's nominated for... And I have to see The Danish Girl, so I know a lot of people say that would make my list, too. Well, we'll see what happens. I got to see that in The Room. There's about 60 movies I haven't seen, even though I've seen 60. I love movies. I watch too many, maybe. But Ex Machina is a fantastic, great story, beautifully shot, wonderfully acted by all three actors. I don't even think there's a single other person in the movie. It's just those three.
Yeah.
And Oscar Isaac continues... to impress me. Like,
He's so good.
Everything he's in. Fantastic. Like, when I saw him in the Inside Llewyn Davis,
yeah,
I was like, oh, my God, this guy's going to be in Star Wars? Holy, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
This Oscar Isaac is going to win awards and be around forever. 50 years. Yeah. Well, and just be, he's going to be one of the greats. He is amazing.
He's new Harrison Ford.
He is. Mm-hmm. He's so friggin' good. He's going to be able to do everything, just like you said. Yeah, exactly. So that's my eight. My number seven is Hateful Eight. People might think that should be higher on my list because I am such a huge Tarantino fan, and the movie was wonderful, and I've seen this three-hour epic twice. You need to see this on the big screen in 70mm.
Yes.
Or you will lose, or you will lose something. Not that you won't like the movie. The movie's still great because it's still got the classic Tarantino dialogue, the way he builds tension with five people just sitting there.
Yeah.
But you know shit's going to pop off. So it's a fantastic movie. Great performances by all, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything here because I think he's in the credits, but Channing Tatum made me very fine with him being Gambit. I know some people have a problem with him being Gambit.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about
his performance in Hateful Eight is a little tease of what his Gambit will be.
Yeah.
In a good way.
That's cool.
And he was good. He's not in it a lot, but he's in it enough that he's a major part of the movie, and you will enjoy his performance. If you're a Channing hater, you're going to change on this movie. The Martian's number six. I think we've kind of licked that one's nuts quite a bit enough.
Yeah.
We love The Martian. Fantastic movie. Ridley Scott. Awesome. Freaking Matt Damon. Yes. Number five, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. So I cracked my top five. I was told by another friend of mine I should see this, that it's better than Star Wars. I would say that. But it is pretty, pretty close. And I'm not talking about Josh Moorhead, actually. Right. Josh is the second person to tell me it's better than Star Wars. You're both wrong. But at the same time, this movie is fantastic. Wonderful performances by all. The kid who plays Earl, why is he not nominated? There's another African-American performance.
He was great.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome. And but, of course, we're going to ignore it because it's a small movie and he's black, so we don't want to nominate that. Number four, Straight Outta Compton. That period of my life when NWA came into it was my early tween years. I think I was 11 when I first heard, maybe 10 when I first heard Ice Cube, and my uncle handed me a tape that on the back of the tape it said, "Get off my dick and tell your bitch to come here," and those words blew my mind. I'm like, "Oh my God, what is this?" And then I turned it on and No Vaseline comes on, or I think that's on the next album. But when I heard No Vaseline, I was like, "Oh my God, Ice Cube's amazing! Wait, he's in a group? Yeah. I want to hear this group." And then my mom, of course, took away the tape. But it didn't matter. NWA, they are, just like I said, just as important as the Beatles to music. And the movie was so freaking good. Number three, Sicario. Why is Benicio not on this list?
No.
I just realized that right now, that Benicio is not nominated for... You can even give him supporting actor because he is kind of the secondary character. But holy crap, was he amazing.
Yeah.
And that movie is so freaking good. It's so beautiful. And that final scene, Tarantino could not have written something more tense. Mm-hmm. And go see it if you haven't seen it. Go rent it, whatever it is now. Get it. Number two, Creed. And the fact that 40 years later, Sylvester Stallone gets nominated for a role he didn't get nominated and should have gotten nominated for in 1976. But that's okay, because Rocky still won Best Picture, and I'm sure he's fine with that. And I don't know if he won the writing award. But either way, Creed is almost as good as the original Rocky. And people say, it's because it's almost the same movie. I'm like, no. It might hit the same beats, but it's a different story, and it's told different, and it's from a different perspective, and Michael B. Jordan sells the hell out of it. You totally believe that is Carl Weathers, or I should say Apollo Creed's son.
Yeah.
Like, he's has all the bluster, but all the emotion and there's a word I'm looking for here. It's on the tip of my tongue. The vulnerability that Apollo Creed had, because people think that Apollo was just that blustering guy. No, if you watch all the Rocky movies, there's more to Apollo Creed than those first couple movies, or the persona that he puts out.
And it's worth noting that movie totally works if you've never seen a Rocky movie before.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. You don't need to see Rocky and the way they make him a legacy in the movie. Like, you didn't tell me your uncle was Rocky Balboa. Like, everybody knows who Rocky is. It's such a sweet performance. I mean, the moment when he finds out, you know, spoilers, kind of. He finds out something's wrong with him. You know, and he talks about Adrian. It's so real. Rocky feels like a real person, and that's because of Sylvester Stallone. To me, like, I see Sylvester Stallone and Rocky Balboa as two people. I always have. Like, when I see Rambo and I see the Expendables, I see Sylvester Stallone. When I see Rocky Balboa, or when I say Rocky, I see Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, interesting.
And that is because of Sylvester Stallone, and he's made that character so important to me. I'm getting choked up thinking about it because I love Rocky so much. And the way Creed did it, like, when I saw it in the theater, I was like, oh, my God, it did it! Plus, best soundtrack of the year. Like, really not soundtrack. Score, soundtrack. Like, it's the music is fantastic. They even got Meek Mill on there, who's super weak, but whatever. Good on that soundtrack.
I just couldn't possibly guess what your number one.
My number one is...
It's a little-known movie, independent film.
Annalisa. Yeah. My number one movie is Star Wars, because, yeah, of course, it's Star Wars. I mean, come on. And people out there who think that I would have put The Phantom Menace at the top of my top... what year was that come out? 1999 list. 99. You're actually wrong. I did like The Phantom Menace. I'm one of the few people out there who actually enjoys the prequels a lot. Actually, two of us at this table. Three of us.
Yes.
The fourth one is in a little bit farther on the fence. But it's okay. But I wouldn't have put Phantom Menace even in my top 10 in 1999. Even in 1999, I wouldn't have done it. But this movie does belong there because it fulfilled the hype.
Yep.
No matter what anybody says, it lived up to the hype like it was supposed to. This Star Wars changed cinema landscape in 1977. When Jaws opened the doors in 1975... They didn't realize what was coming. When Star Wars hit in 77, it just blew that fucking door up. Mm-hmm. Blew the building it was in, the doors in up.
Yeah.
And now we got Force Awakens doing it again.
You can't really underestimate how incredible it is that it was the most anticipated movie of all time, and it stuck the landing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It stuck it big time. Big time. Anyway, so that is our top 10 lists. Please go to the website, thewaywenerd.com. Who's here if you want to see my top 61, because I saw 61 movies last year. So you can see,
and I'm sure he'll constantly update it as he sees.
I will constantly update it. Number one is Star Wars, number 61 is Annalisa, and then if you want to see all the ones in between, please visit our website, and hopefully I encourage the rest of the gentlemen to do the same thing, or at least Potter, go out and maybe elaborate a little more on the ones he saw.
I guess.
Anyway, so that is our time for today. And go out there and make your top 10 list and post it on our website. Post it in the comment section. And maybe we'll hit you back and let you know what we think.
And we'll judge you for not putting Star Wars in the list.
Yes, Star Wars is the number one. It will not be posted. Just kidding. We bring every and all opinions. Kyle has that. All opinions. All right, everybody. We love you all. See you. This is The Way We Nerd. We'll see you next week.
Bye.